Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be going through Psalm 66 about the topic of steps and stages.
Yeah, I started tonight with just show of hands of everybody of how many had heard me say steps and stages before. A lot of hands went up, and the full expression is God leads you in steps and stages. So I'll sometimes say that, and I'll even hashtag that on Instagram sometimes, but. Tonight we talked about three different ways of how God leads us in steps and stages. So in Psalm 66, verse 5, it says, "Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him." Talking about the Israelites going through the Red Sea. And that's from Exodus 13. And that's what we focused on tonight was Exodus 13. Just two verses, 17 and 18, but there's so much to learn from these two verses. It says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt." So shorter doesn't mean better. Mm-hmm. And that was purely because they were not ready for it. Right, so God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So he led them on a longer path for that reason. Right? And there's a lot to learn from that. But how God leads you in steps and stages is that if God had just led them through that Philistine country, there's the potential issue is that they might go back to Egypt. So ruining the deliverance that they had just experienced because they weren't ready for that challenge that would have been presented in front of them. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can't always, don't try to get there before you're there.
Yeah.
Right? And because you can't always handle the pressure, the opposition, the stress that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So God leads you in steps and stages where you balance on one step, you master that, then you take another step. Mm-hmm. And if you don't bow, if you don't break, complain, then God has ordered steps for you. If you complain, you forfeit the blessing. If you quit, you forfeit the blessing. But if you can stay faithful, then God has ordered steps for you. And we talked in brief about just David, because we've been studying David a lot in the study with going on in the Psalms. And just in brief, what would have happened if David had been the day he was anointed, if he had been appointed that day, the things he would have missed out on. So a brief list. So he killed Goliath, which turned him into a celebrity. Mm-hmm. He then learned to lead, where he was leading a fighting group of men and starting to get experience fighting against the Philistines. And then he was also seeing it all because he's in the palace at that point. So he's seeing the good and the bad. So he's getting the opportunity to observe from an administrative standpoint what could be done better, what could be improved upon, what should be eliminated. He meets Jonathan, which was a critical thing in his life, is someone that, he described as love better than that of a woman, right? Then the Cave of Adullam, where he builds up his core of people that he's going to take all the way to the top with him, meets Abigail, marries Abigail, who was a great asset in his life, then lived with the Philistines, so understanding them inside and out, where he's literally living with them in Ziklag, where also then his army starts to grow into swell of what was going to be the core of his group, and then wins the civil war over Ishbosheth, Saul's descendant. Now he is ready to step to the Philistines, that when he becomes king, because it says as soon as he became king, because this is what was waiting for him, as soon as he finally got into that position, what was waiting for him was the Philistines. It says as soon as they heard that, they went up in full force to search for him. David defeats him, and then defeats them again, which was a slaughter of them, and set up everything to then fulfill what God's word had been to Abraham in Genesis 12 about what he then had for Israel in the promised land.
Yeah.
And that was all from just the steps and stages that God led him on, where if you take those events out of his life and he's simply anointed by Samuel, placed in the position, it would have been disastrous, right? But he had steps and stages where takes a step, balances on that one, then takes another step, then takes another step, right? So that was the first point tonight. Shorter doesn't mean better.
Yeah. and understand that the Lord loves you and he wants all those things to be a blessing for you, right? So he wanted Israel to be free from slavery and to eventually get into the promised land, but he wants it to be a blessing to them forevermore, right? You know, it would be a curse if they went into battle against the Philistines right away. It would have been a curse to David if he was anointed and immediately appointed, right? And I think for most people, it's easy to give thanks for that and recognize that in hindsight, in 2020. It takes a mature man to realize that God knows best, right? So you might think you're ready, but God knows, right? He knows the end from the beginning. And I think there's just a fear of the Lord that goes hand in hand with this, just understanding there's a God in heaven and I'm not him, right? And the Lord knows what the right timing is. The Lord knows when I'm ready. And so I think the takeaway from that point is, you know, what can I do today to be more faithful with where the Lord's placed me right now, right? Because if I can learn and become and develop on the step I've been given, then I'm ready for the next one, right? Mm-hmm. There's a saying I really like. You don't want something when you're too young. You don't want it to be given to you too fast or while you're too dumb. Too young, too dumb, too fast, right? You want to be able to maintain and be able to handle that level, right? And that only comes through the steps, right? There's no other way around it.
Mm-hmm. And the second point tonight was we said, watch out because you can stop you. Mm-hmm. And that's where, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. This is really a key point of just the intersection of God's direction for you in your life, is to understand that so many times we complain about exterior things. We're blaming somebody else. We're blaming this or that situation. And not realizing that what God has promised you, as he says in Joshua 1, he says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As it says in Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. While at the same time you have free will. And that free will says that you can screw this up for yourself. As you see with, you know, in 1 Samuel with Saul and how his disobedience screwed that up. 1 Samuel 15:26, Luke 22, where Judas's greed screwed it all up for him, right? So our free will is still existing at the same time that God has ordered steps for us, but you can screw it up for you. And that's where people get into a lot of problems because they're not managing themselves. Mm-hmm. They're blaming everything else, but they're not managing themselves. Mm-hmm. And whether you want to call it self-discipline, I prefer to say that the fruits of the spirit of just self-control, mm-hmm. but they're not managing themselves. And because of that, they're limiting themselves. They're getting off the path or they're not ever accomplishing what they should. Okay. Because as you can see here, God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So they're being led on a longer path than it should be because they're not ready to face war. So what's limiting you is your preparation. Because God's giving you according to what you can handle. Mm-hmm. So what needs to grow is you. So if you want more from God, you need to grow up.
Yeah.
Right? You need to progress. Mm-hmm. Right? So I've seen that so many times where people, they're sitting back. They're not taking action. They're procrastinating. They're not doing anything. But they're complaining about how they should be in this position. Or they should have this title. Or why is this not happening for me? Mm-hmm. Not realizing that they're the ones holding themselves back because they're not preparing on the level that they are ready to be handed something more. Mm-hmm. So that if they did face war, they would change their minds and go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. So it's your preparation that is limiting you. You want more? Then prepare for more. Mm-hmm. And that would be all the things that nobody wants to actually drill down into. That means time. That means focus. Mm-hmm. Often means money. Yeah. You got to sow to reap. And that's a lie that this generation is being told over and over that they can somehow reap without sowing, that they deserve to reap without sowing. So you got a lot of dynamic of what it says in the verses coming to my head right now of I believe that's Proverbs 21, where, Proverbs 20, a sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing.
Yep.
Right. So if you want more of God in your life, and you want God to beam you up, and you're praying for blessing in your life, then it's you that has to grow in order for God to bless you.
Yeah.
So are you putting time into your relationship with God? Are you putting focus into this? Or is that something that's just on the back burner, that you expect blessing from God when you're not putting anything into that? And you're not maturing, therefore you cannot be trusted with it, because God knows that you can screw it up for you, right? And so that becomes then the limiting factor, right?
Yeah, you talk about, you know, the example of Samuel, you talk about Saul, you talk about the example of Saul and the example of Judas. One that comes to mind for me is Delilah and Samson in Judges, you know, and you talk about self-control and focus. A verse that comes to mind for me is Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." I think one of the issues, if I can just add on, is a lot of times people, you talk about self-discipline, they sacrifice for things of a lower nature when they should be choosing things of a higher nature. You know, what does God have for me? What's the main thing supposed to be? And go all in on that main thing and dedicate yourself to the Lord with that, right? It's so easy for us to get off track and have all these distractions and choose the things of the lower nature and lose self-discipline and self-control. And that's what leads to us getting in our own way and messing up what the Lord said nothing else could mess up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's a level of focus and, like you said, discipline and just seriousness. There's a level of seriousness that you have to take towards all those things.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first point being shorter doesn't mean better. Second point, watch out. You can stop you. And the last one, put it on. So verse 18, it says, "So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle." They went up out of Egypt armed for battle, which is interesting because if you go back just one verse, God is detouring them because they're not ready for war. But they come out of Egypt armed for battle. So there's a strong lesson in there that you need to prepare in the direction you're going in. Prepare in the direction you're going in. I ought to be able to look at your preparation and see your destination. Right? So they, even though they were not ready for war, and God is putting them on a detour so they don't face war, they're still coming up out of Egypt armed for battle. Remember, 24 hours prior, they were still slaves. And their fathers before them were slaves. And their fathers before them, 430 years of that. They don't know anything about war fighting. All they know is how to make bricks without straw. But they're going to prepare for it because that is what is ahead in their future of what God has put forth to that covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they are going to go up to the promised land. Remember, this is the sequence here. These things are happening to them as examples to us on whom the fulfillment of the ages come. So you start with deliverance, where they're being led out of Egypt. For us, that's salvation. And now they're in that development stage where God is developing them, right? So they're preparing, right? And your destination needs to be on you right now. So even though they don't know anything about war fighting, they are still going up out of Egypt armed for battle. They're going to start getting familiar with this equipment. They're going to start walking around with it. Yeah. They're going to start to learn it because that is what's ahead for them. So that destination needs to be on you right now. And that's why when Jesus calls the sons of Zebedee, James and John, it says they left their boat and their father to follow Jesus. And now for 3.5 years, they're going to learn from the Lord so that when Jesus goes back up to heaven, now they're ready to step into this ministry that God has called them to and laid his spirit on them to then accomplish. Right? So they left their boats and their father to then step into this ministry.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a shock, right? You bring up all the things that David went through to the point leading up to him becoming king, right? Mm-hmm. The whole list of things that happened to him and prepared him and blessed him. And, you know, there certainly wasn't any like social media or anything back then. So for most people, it's probably like, oh, David's, you know, leading Judah now. And, oh, David's king over Israel now. Like, oh, but you don't see the work behind the scenes, right? But if you did see the work behind the scenes, it wouldn't come as a shocker to you, mm-hmm. right? So there's a level of work and like you said, preparation that goes into, like you said earlier, the step is to actually do that work and be faithful in the preparation. And ultimately, if you've ever walked that path, you realize that's where the blessing is, right? Because not only do you see the development that, the experience the development that is going on, but you learn to appreciate it, right? And you are fully developed and it can be a good thing. And in some ways it's like, oh Lord, like you think this much of me that I can handle this. I can be sufficient at this task or whatever it is that you're being called to. Right. So, it's not something to shy away from or expect God to just give it to you. There's value that goes in to that work. Right. And the blessing is in the preparation.
Yeah, so we had shorter doesn't mean better. Watch out. You can stop you and put it on. And then to wrap up tonight, we'll finish up in Luke 16, verse 10, where Jesus tells you, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Which if you flip a few pages forward there in Luke 19, where he calls 10 of his servants, is a parable of 10 minas. He says, he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work until I come back. Then he comes back and it says that he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied, because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge 5 cities. And then you have the servant that just took the mina, hid it in the cloth. And that servant is then rebuked for that, right? So it's you're demonstrating your faithfulness at each step. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is God is, and we'll get into this more in future weeks, but is God's preparing you not for you to be glorified? Mm-hmm. But for him to be glorified with what's going to advance the kingdom of God. And if you're missing that, then your own narcissism is what's going to cause frustration for you. This is not about you. Yeah. We'll get into that future weeks, but you're demonstrating your faithfulness at each step that you can then handle taking the next step, that you're ready for that because you've been trustworthy. Right, so it says, right, you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, right? So it's like, yeah, you might be, you're not going to take the short road through the Philistine country. You're not ready for it. Yeah. You're not ready for that level of opposition yet. You might think you are, like you said. You're not. You're not ready for that type of conflict, that stress, that anxiety, that pressure. Right, but God's going to give you what you are ready for if you can stay faithful to that and demonstrate your faithfulness with it and get out of your own way and manage yourself. Now you can take another step.
Yeah.
Right, and that's exactly how God led the Israelites, as we're seeing here in Exodus.
Yeah, 100%. Only thing I could add to that verse in Luke is it says he gave each of them 10 mina, you know, and
That gives him one, yeah. 10 servants in the...
He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. So, my apologies. They each got the same amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the only thing holding you back is you. That's a tough pill to swallow, you know? Your level of faithfulness, God's not looking down on you like everything's against you, you know? And I think a lot of people take that mentality, you know? It's like your level of faithfulness towards the Lord with that mina, he's willing to multiply it tenfold if you're faithful enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you've touched on this before, but it very much it's kind of a cultural thing right now, right? Yeah. To be a victim, it gives you attention.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to have these are the hardships that I've gone for, through, whether real or imagined or somewhere in the middle. But obviously social media has really amplified that, where people, really like to, often see themselves as a victim. While at the same time, there's just an incredible amount of blaming that we all like to do. Because if you're going to say that it comes down to you managing you, mm-hmm. now the buck stops with you. Yeah. You can't blame somebody else.
Yeah.
Which is very humbling.
Yeah.
Right?
But humility comes
before
honor, mm-hmm. right? So you were at the board last week. You brought up the Seinfeld quote multiple times, right? The quote where he says, just write every day, whether it's good, whether it's bad, write every day.
Oh, sure.
I've seen a similar quote of his in the same lane, where he's talking about writing every day, where he talks about writer's block. Mm. And so many writers or comedians, whoever, will be like, oh, I'm in such a rut. I have such bad writer's block, this, that. He's like, no, you're just mediocre. He's like, accept that you're mediocre and keep on writing until you get good. Right. And so at the end of the day, when it comes to the Lord, it's about the kingdom. It's not about your pity party. It's not about the blame game. It's not about you being a victim. The Lord made you for a reason. There's a reason you're here. And if you would just be faithful, there's so much blessing that comes through the process. Right. There's so much blessing that comes through the steps and the stages. Right. But ultimately, it's about the kingdom and what the Lord wants to accomplish through you. That no man can come against. That no circumstance can come against. Only you can come against. So we'd all be wise to take that to heart as the ultimate word of encouragement. That nothing can stop me as long as I'm faithful. And if I'm faithful, God is going to be glorified and the kingdom will be advanced. That's all the motivation in the world.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's the Monday Night Pod for this week. Tyler and Fenske. Talking about steps and stages. We'll see you guys next week.